pushing back the darkness with the light of the world. I tell you, darkness has got to flee. Darkness has got to flee. Isn't that right, people? You know, if we submit to God, then the Bible says that darkness has to flee. I want you to go out knowing that this morning. In James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, therefore, submit to God. So what's that mean? Submit to God. Do what God wants us to do. Listen to what He is saying. Let's give what He asks us to give. We need to submit to God, and then the enemy will flee. Amen? I believe that freedom from demonic oppression is accomplished by submitting ourselves to God. How do we do that? In full obedience to His word, not what we think, but what His word says. And people, to believe His promises. We got to start believing His promises, amen? And many of those promises are for us, and we've got to start believing them. And you know what, people? We've got to completely depend and trust His word. And as we resist, as we stand against the devil, and as we reject all his lies, the promise is in God's word is that the devil will flee from us. Amen? And that darkness will flee. You know, that is absolutely true. But the last week and the last 2 weeks, actually, I've been looking at this scripture. And I believe that there is more to this promise, that we can move from darkness to light, but not only for ourselves, but for a lost world. I believe that. In Genesis 1, 1 to 4, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Then God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. That's the God we served. You know, that was God's first divine command. Do you know that? That was His first command, let there be light. That was His first command. And you know what, people, what happens? This process brings the transformation of the chaos, bringing life out of order. And when the light of Jesus comes into our life, I tell you, chaos has to flee. Amen? Chaos has to flee. And into our life becomes life and order. Is that incredible, people? See, the earth was full of darkness. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And you know what, people? The earth is still full of a lot of darkness in a lot of ways. And we have the mandate. Do you know that? We have the mandate to keep pushing back the darkness until the darkness breaks. Amen? We've got to keep pushing it back until the darkness breaks. Not just in our own lives, but in a broken world. I tell you, darkness is nothing but a lack of light. And we are the light. John 8, 12 says, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. People, we don't have to walk in darkness. Amen? Because He is the light of life. You know, Jesus is declaring that He is the light of the world. And He's also declaring that the world is in darkness apart from Him. Apart from Him, there is darkness. But because of His death on the cross, He gave us power, people, to be light in the world and the power to break through the darkness and advance the cause of Christ. Amen? Praise God. In Matthew 5, 13 to 16, probably up here, I'll just read it. Oops. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know what? As believers, we are now positioned people to be salt and light to this world. Is that amazing? We need to let our light shine, people, so people see our good works. And they won't say, good on Lynn, good on this one and good on that one, but they will glorify our God in heaven. That's what we want them to do. We want them, don't want people to glorify us. We want them to glorify our God who brings light into the darkest places in the world, in the darkest places of our heart. God brings that light, and that light is Jesus Christ. See, we have to keep pushing back the darkness until we see a breakthrough over our nation and the nations of the world. See, it's time we claimed our inheritance, people, and lay hold of what God has promised us in His Word. It is breakthrough time. And this is my favorite verse in the whole Bible, Psalm 2:8. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Amen? He says to ask for the nations. Ask for those people in Africa. Ask for those people. Just ask for them. Those that are in darkness. Ask for the nations to be changed. He said that all we have to do is to ask. Amen? And He will give that as our inheritance. Is that incredible, people? You know, in Sunday, in not next Sunday, but the Sunday after, in Leap into Spring, we have an opportunity to be part of breaking that darkness over nations. Do you know that? Sometimes we look at it just as a financial exercise. You know, something we do week after week, year after year, putting money into missions. But I'm telling you, we have it wrong. Because money is an opportunity to push back the darkness. So the devil will have to flee from people's lives. Amen? We have the joy of being able to touch nations of the world. See, mission is not just about money. We are, you know what, people? We are equipping people to be on rescue teams. You're part of a rescue team to bring the light of Christ to a dark world, and finances are part of that breakthrough. Amen? Yeah, I remember an old Christian man saying, go ye cos. Go ye cos. It does. Go ye. That was the way they used to say. Go, go, go on missions. It costs. It does. See, we should all be part of Christ's rescue team, dispelling darkness and bringing in the light of the world. Isn't that incredible, people? See, Jesus is the light of the world, and He alone gives us peace, hope, and joy, a secure future, forgiveness, beauty for ashes, and a reason for living. You know what, people? People in darkness did not choose to be in darkness. They did not choose that. I was born into complete darkness, and I didn't choose that, but I'm glad that someone showed me the light, amen? Someone showed me and told me about Jesus Christ. You know what? The world is waiting for someone to show them the light. I say world because you know what's amazing? When you put money or finances into any missions or Leap into Spring, you actually become part of touching the world. Touching the world. Not just one person, but you are touching the world. And you know what? Sometimes you don't have to leave your house. Sometimes you don't have to buy a ticket. But you can still touch the world and bring light into darkness, into so many nations, into so many people's world. Amen? Because we understand that giving is not just about giving. It's about breaking darkness, pushing it back. And you know, sometimes we get tired of it, but we've got to keep on pushing, people, because the darkness is seeping. I woke up one night and saw darkness seeping underneath my door, and I said, get out of my house, get out of my nation, get out. And we have the power to break this darkness. Amen? Praise God. And we do that mostly by giving one way or another. We have to start looking outside ourselves, looking for those who are in darkness and continue to be part of the rescue team to push back the darkness and bring light. Is that incredible? Who wants to be part of that rescue team? Come on, of course we do. How do we do that? Giving sacrificially, giving, interceding, being part of what C3 Fremantle and Wellard are doing locally, nationally, and worldwide. You know what, people? We who know Jesus have dark moments, don't we? Well, come on, we all have dark moments. We do. But you know what? We are not in complete darkness because the light in us is in us and the darkness has to flee. Amen? And there are times of darkness. I've had many over the last few months. But you know what? The light of Jesus is in me. Praise God. Because Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once in darkness, and now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." You are children of the light. You know, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you can bring light to other people. Is that incredible? And we are the answer. We can say, gee, the world's getting so dark and all this kind of stuff. But we are the answer for those people who are in complete darkness. For those people that aren't in the kingdom of light people, we are the answer. Those nations that are full of darkness and have had no hope and no future, we are the answer. The Bible says that we are to be the light of the world. We are to be their hope. We can show them the light of the world, even through darkness, even though darkness surrounds them. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible that we, as humans, can make so much difference just believing that He is the light of the world, that His light is in us, and we can shine that light on many nations, amen? In Colossians 1:13-14, it says, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness." We all said amen to that, eh? "And conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." You know what? It cost Jesus His life, as Charlie said this morning, so we could know freedom from sin. So we could walk in the light and bring light to others. Imagine being born again and being able to bring light to others. That is amazing. See, when Jesus showed Himself to disciples after His resurrection, He simply said, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I send you. I send you." And you may be thinking, well, how can I go anywhere? You don't have to go anywhere. You just have to submit to God, do what He's asking you to do, and the enemy will start fleeing from these places. Jesus is actually saying, do what I did. Slam the door in the enemy's face. Because isn't that what Jesus did? See, God is a sending God. Whether you go or make it possible for someone else to go, Jesus is ascending God. I know that in this church you do so much, and there's so many diverse causes that this church backs financially and so many ways. I know as Lynette Tobin Ministries that this church has helped me from the beginning, and it's 10 years since I actually walked away from a job as a senior pastor of the Apostolic Church. I walked away and you thought, well, that's okay. But the whole thing was my husband was sick, he wasn't working. And I'm not going to say I said yes straight away, but I've been senior pastor for 7 years. I was starting to really enjoy it, and they just started giving me a full wage. I mean, I'd made it. And then God comes and says to me, yeah, you've got to leave. What do you mean I have to leave? You've got to go now. Hey, come on. You know, because when I left the hospital, I gave up my long service leave by 6 months. I lost all that money. And when I looked at the calendar, I thought, God, if I leave right now, I'm going to lose my long service again. I mean, you think that's carnal? That's exactly what I thought. So I thought, you know what? I won't leave this year. I'll leave next year because then I'll get my long service. So I thought I'd talk to this pastor because he's so honest, and I told him the whole story. And he said, well, I think you got it wrong. you know, I told him about how I'm going to leave next year and how all that will happen. And you know what? He said to me, I think you got it wrong. I said, good, I'll stay. He said, no, you need to go now. I said, what do you mean go now? He said, you need to go now. And all the money went down the drain. And, you know, it was very exciting because, you know, I gave him a notice in and all that kind of stuff. And they gave me the biggest party you've ever seen. The pastor that was taking over from me, he, you know, he knows I love lights and all that. And he got, had 10 bouquets of flowers. It was amazing. But you know what happened? Monday came. No more party. No more phone calls. Nope, nobody rang me. No one asked how I was. And I thought, oh, now what? Now what? And everybody thought, oh, she's going to be this amazing itinerant. I didn't tell them I had two bookings in my diary. I had one for January and one for December. I didn't know how I was going to make the whole thing, I'm going to tell you. And then David called me in to watch a TV show, and I had a lot to do with India, but it was about the widows in Vrindavan. And I watched the show, and there were 16,000 widows in little white dresses with sticks sleeping on the streets in Vrindavan who were dumped there. And it was a Hindu place, and you could hardly do anything. But, you know, I saw that on SBS, and somehow I found out where it happened and all that kind of stuff, and I actually found myself in Vrindavan, and I was in Vrindavan with another woman, and there I was looking at all these widows just with no hope, and they just looked at me, no hope, no future. They got paid 1 rupee, which is 0.5 cent, for ringing bells for the temple, and I just stood there and I thought, God, you know, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? He said, you need to now start helping the widows, and I said, God, you got it wrong. I can't help myself at them. Moment. I really can't help myself. How am I going to help the widows? And I knew I couldn't do work there. I knew that because they would have killed me and I'd given up my job, but I wasn't ready to give up my life. Sorry about that. But so without that all, we started the ministry to the widows in India, and we've been Mumbai many, and we actually hand out to 700 women in just in one group that are Muslims, that are all different types of people. But in that meeting, there was about 20 Christian widows, and I'm telling you, by all time it finishes, I don't bring them to the Lord, but the widows bring them to the Lord, because that's the safest way. It's getting very dangerous over there. And we've been up north and in the high, hardest places. We've been out wherever you can guess, giving out these saris. And you know, when I spoke to Andrew and Nigel right from the beginning, I told them about the saris. And they've actually supported those saris. This church has supported those saris more or less nearly all that time. Nearly all that time. And you actually now give 300 saris a year to 300 women. So what does that mean? 300 women who had no hope, no future. They go out for jobs and they get raped. The children can't go to school. You know, they're in a terrible, terrible mess. They are so mistreated. So what is a sari? A sari is an honour in India. So you give them the sari and you just tell them how the people in Australia love them. You tell them how much God loves them. And you give them this sari, and you want to see those women walk out of that place. Because that's just one group. We do many other groups. And that sari, just they hang on to. Because you look at Indian women, they might have one sari, but they look neater than Australians. They do. Because they look after them. And you know what? They hang on to this sari. And that sari is like an honour. That sari is like life. And you know, many of those women I've seen over and over again, because somehow they always find me and they always line up for another sari. But you know what it's like. And so I think I gave you one last year, the year before, but that's okay. And now so many of them become friends. And I tell you, we walk on the stage, especially when Dave was with me, because they all loved David. And he'd walk on the stage and they would go mad. What are they going mad about? Because they've seen the light. And through these saris, many of them have received Jesus Christ. Is that incredible, people? And you know what? You'll never meet one of these women on here. You won't meet them. And I see them. And last year, one of them had this gold sort of a chain on. And I just said to her, that's a beautiful gold chain. I knew it couldn't be real. You know, but I said, that's a beautiful gold chain. You know, and she was just so excited. Next day, she came and she gave me that chain. probably worth about 20 rupees. You know what? It meant everything to her because they are learning now to give. Not only that do we feed 50 widows a month with basic food. Somehow we make all that money work. And actually, I actually threw in a couple of motorbikes last year. Somehow I stretched all this money to buy two motorbikes for up north for these guys because they were walking and bicycling hundreds of kilometres to reach the people for Christ. And now when you go up there, you see them zoom, zoom past and they say, thank you. And, you know, and then David saw Gabriel and Gabriel said, David, thank you for the motorbikes. David said, what motorbikes? He said, your wife gave two motorbikes. He said, oh, good, I'm glad. You know, we keep stretching it, stretching, because other people are giving it as well. But I tell you what, people, darkness is breaking. Darkness is breaking. Praise God. You don't know these ladies right now. You don't know these children. But I tell you, Revelation 7 says they'll all be standing there worshipping, praising God. When I stand at the back and go into that room, I don't know about you, but I hope I don't say there, I don't know anyone here. I don't want to think that nobody out of my life has come to Jesus. And I'm telling you, thousands have come through you giving. You know, people, you're a rescue team to these women, giving them hope. They never get out of that darkness. But you know what a sari does? It gives them hope. It gives them future. It makes them feel that they're worthy. And I've been telling them for years how worthy they are. And now they're really beginning to believe it. Praise God. Psalm 65, verse 5. I just found this scripture during the week and I love it in the Passion Translation. You, God, answer our prayers with amazing wonders. And with awe-inspiring displays of power. You are the righteous God who helps us like a father. Everyone looks to you, for you are the confidence of all the earth. Is that incredible? You are the confidence of all the earth, even to the farthest islands of the sea. God is the confidence of all the earth. Amen? The people in darkness are looking for light, people. They're looking for you. They're looking for your support. They're looking for your help. They're looking for your prayers. They're looking for you to break the darkness. People, we have to push back the darkness. It is our job to push back the darkness so the light of Jesus shines. Amen? And we can do that in many ways. And you know what the Bible says? They are waiting for us to bring them light. Who wants to bring light? Who wants to bring light to nations, to other people? Instead of saying, oh, look how dark their lives are. I tell you, we are the light and we can bring darkness into their lives. I think it's the most exciting thing we can ever do is to push back darkness in people's lives. I'm going to leave you with this quote from John Keith Falconer. I have to be honest, I don't know who he is. I just saw the quote and I thought I'd better quote his name. But I don't know who he is, but I love what he says. I have but one candle to burn, and I would rather burn it in a land filled with darkness than a land flooded with light. I'll say it again. I have but one candle to burn, and I would rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than a land flooded with light. And I am so glad that I've lit the candle to bring darkness. I'm so glad that you're part of lighting that candle and bringing light to so many. So it's not just about finances. It's a much bigger deal. It's breaking, pushing, shoving the darkness out of people's lives and the world. And Jesus is the light. And my prayer for you this morning is that as you go, that as you give, as you intercede, that you will submit to God, and then you will resist the devil, and he has to flee. You know, I believe that this is part of our own lives. The darkness can be broken off our own lives, but I believe just in as much that we can break darkness in the world, even in places we have never been to. I'm going to hand the service right now back for a moment. But as I said, many of us have darkness in our lives. We can have darkness in our lives. And in a moment, I'm happy to pray for people. And I will stand with you and to break that darkness. Because dark moments do come, but they are only moments. Because we have the light of the world. I will stand with you and pray with you about those dark moments. God bless you, people. God bless you. And I pray that you have such an urge to see darkness flee. Amen. Thank you.